Let me see what he's gonna do here in first. That's the only thing this Rittenhouse is gonna do here, but before we get started, we do need to tie in, I believe this would be your mother. I wanna see if Mr. Johnson can help me get your mother tied in here, and then we will begin your hearing, sir.
All right, so don't hang up, stand by while we try to reach your mother, okay? Sir?
Yes.
Stand by, don't hang up while we try to reach your mother, okay?
Okay.
We understand you want to participate in the hearing with Mr. Garcia?
Yes.
Okay, if you just hang on, we're going to connect you with that call. The Honorable Mrs. Rittenhouse is going to be conducting, leading the hearing, okay?
What was the name, Miss?
Rittenhouse.
Rittenhouse?
Rittenhouse.
Okay.
Hello?
Mr. Garcia?
Hello?
Mr. Garcia, are you there? Ms. Galando, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, the next one you'll hear will be that the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, who will be conducting your hearing, will be the lead person.
Yes. Okay, Mr. Garcia.
Yes.
Could you please state your name and your ABC number for the record?
Ronnie Garcia, 222284.
Thank you, sir. We're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the six allegations that are listed on your warrant. You signed a form on, let me check the date here. You signed a form on April 16th that notified you about this hearing. Do you remember signing that?
Yes.
Okay, and on that form, this is why that's important, there's a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney today, or will you be representing yourself?
No, I did not hire an attorney.
So you represent yourself, sir?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board. We have the Honorable Louis Quinones, the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman, the Honorable Michael Johnson, and my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll lead the hearing today. We also have with us in the room Mr. Turner, who's with the Department of Corrections. So he'll represent the department and your parole officer in the hearing today. So, Ms. Galindo, you're on the phone, and Mr. Garcia and Mr. Turner, all the three of you, I need to swear the three of you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
I do.
Yes.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Garcia, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision. In phase two, we determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, Mr. Garcia, I'm going to read each of these six allegations to you, from the allegations on your warrant. And as I read each one to you, I need you to tell me if it's true or false. If you believe it's false, we'll talk to Mr. Turner, who will give us testimony on behalf of the Department of Corrections. And the board then will make the determination as to whether you violated your conditions. All right, sir, do you understand the process?
Yes.
Thank you. We'll start with this. Here's the beginning of phase one, and the first allegation. Okay, that's great. The first allegation is that you're in violation of condition number 7, demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about February 27, 2018, from the TASC GCMS lab report dated March 5, 2018. Mr. Garcia, is that true or false?
That's true.
Okay, sir. Allegation number 2, that you were in violation of condition number 7, is demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about January 29, 2018, from the TASC Individual Testing Compliance Summary dated March 9, 2018. Mr. Garcia, is that true or false?
That's true.
Okay, thank you, sir. Allegation number three, that you were in violation of condition number seven, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about February 14th, 2018, from the task individual testing compliance summary dated March 9th, 2018. Mr. Garcia, is that true or false?
That's true.
Okay. Allegation number four, that you were in violation of condition number seven, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about February 27, 2018, per the task lab report dated March 5, 2018. Mr. Garcia, is that true or false?
That is true.
Okay. And allegation five, that you were in violation of condition number seven, as demonstrated by providing a urine specimen that was adulterated by dilution and unsuitable for testing on or about February 27th, 2018, per the task lab report dated March 5th, 2018. Mr. Garcia, is that true or false?
I don't know what that
It's adulterated by dilution or unsuitable for testing, which would mean it was, there was something had been added to it possibly, or it was just not a normal urine specimen, sir. That's false, okay. All right, allegation number six is that you were in violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your son parole officer by failing to report to the Maricopa Reentry Center at 24601 North 29th Avenue in Phoenix on or about March 2nd, 2018, as verbally directed or directed in writing on February 27th, 2018, for a two-day sanction intervention. The offender has not since reported to the MRC, nor has he reported to his parole officer. The offender is actively avoiding supervision. Mr. Garcia, is this true or false?
I did show up over there. Me and my wife had sit me over there, and we were honking out the gate, and they didn't open the gate, and I was bad.
All right, sir. I'm going to take some testimony from Mr. Turner on allegations 5 and 6. Mr. Turner, would you please give us some information?
Yes, ma'am. Allegation number 5. On 2/27/2018, CCO is a board directed the offender to submit a urine specimen at task. On 2/27/2018, the offender submitted a urine specimen as he was directed. The offender's urine specimen submitted on 2/27/2018 was altered by dilution and unsuitable for testing for the task lab report dated 3/5/2018.
Thank you. Mr. Garcia, I'm looking at the lab report that Mr. Turner just mentioned, and it is showing that your specimen was diluted, the creatinine and specific gravity were below acceptable levels. And why is that false, sir?
So what does that mean? My urine was too wet,
It was diluted, sir. Do you know what diluted means?
Well, yeah, I understand what diluted means, but so then it's saying that I put too much water, or?
Evidently, something like that, sir.
Okay.
So you maintain that as false?
No, I did the urine sample. I mean, there's nothing else I could say to that. I did the urine sample, and if it came up that I was using too much water, then that's possibly true.
Okay. Then allegation number 6, we're going to hear from Mr. Turner on this one. Mr. Turner.
Yes, allegation number 6. On 2/27/2018, the offender reported the Western Regional Parole Office, 801 South 16th Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85034, for a staffing with Senior Parole Officer Rich. Due to his drug use and failure to report, the offender was directed to report to MRC for a two-day intervention beginning on 3/2/2018. The offender failed to report to MRC as directed on 3/2/2018. The offender has since not reported to his parole officer. The offender is actively avoiding supervision. Follow up to number 6. On 3/6/2018, a letter of noncompliance was delivered by CCO Williams Hancock to the offender's residence, directing him to report to the parole office at 801 South 16th Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85034, on 3/8/2018 by 9 a.m. Offender filed a report to P.O. Isabel. P.O. Isabel called the emergency contact, the sponsor mother, Angela Galladino. Sponsor responded that she does not know where the offender was presently. She claims the offender just got married and spent time with his wife. P.O. checked the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office public mugshot website, but the offender was not registered there. Also, the Maricopa Medical Center confirmed that the offender was not registered there.
Thank you, sir. So, Mr. Garcia, what's false about that, please?
Well, what's false about me reporting to the NRC?
Yes.
Is that, like, I have witnessed that, like, we showed up over there, and the, I guess, the whoever operates the gate, the COs over there, didn't open up the gate. I mean, I don't know what more you guys want me to do. I showed up there, and I have witnesses that I showed up there.
Thank you.
You know?
Based on Mr. Garcia's admission with respect to allegations 1, 2, 3, and 4, and based on information from Mr. Turner from the Department of Corrections regarding allegations 5 and 6, I move to find Mr. Garcia delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of supervision and may have lapsed or have lapsed in the criminal ways or company. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Garcia, we'll move to phase two of your hearing, and that is to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. Before we get too far into phase two, I'm going to ask Mr. Turner to give the board some background information about your case. So just stay on the line, and we'll be right back to talk with you some more in just a minute.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, sir. Mr. Turner.
Yes, Mr. Garcia was released from ADC custody on 5/5/2017. He was arrested on 4/2/2018 by ADC. No new charges. He was returned back to ADC on 4/2/2018 with an adjusted release date of 12/7/2018 with 31 abscond days. Current conviction, 2007, armed robbery, 10 years and 6 months. There's no prior convictions. This is his first term in ADC. He has a CUIR score of 4.3. He has a mental health score of 2 and a substance abuse score of 2. He is a suspected New Mexican mafia. Prior terms of supervision, there was none. Disciplinary is significant with violence, assault, drugs, disorderly conduct, and promoting prison contraband noted. Under arrest, 2003, criminal damage, Arizona juvenile probation. He has a current GV score of G3B4.
G3B4, okay, thank you, sir. So, Mr. Garcia, it looks like when you were released, we have a little report here, one sheet summary. You were to live at 5982 West Coolidge Street in Phoenix, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and who lives there?
My mother.
Oh, that's your mother's house, okay. All right. And you were working, it looks like?
Yes.
Where were you working?
I was working at BDQ, it's Quality Demolition.
Okay. And what were you doing? You were just doing general labor there?
Yeah, well, right now we were actually working in downtown Phoenix, the Madison Street Jail. We're tearing down the inside of it. Right now, that's well before I left, that's what I was doing.
Okay. All right, sir. Okay, it looks like you were referred to task, of course, that was a couple of your allegations. And you tested negative on, let's see, May 22nd, June 12th, July 31st, August 28th, August 19th, dates out of order a little there, October 25th, and December 28th of 17. So that was last year. But you failed to submit specimens on November 13th, January 29th of 18, February 14th of 2018. Your sample was diluted on 3 different occasions. That would have been last in August of 2017, November of 2017, and February of 2018. On December 27th of last, just this past year, you attempted to adulterate your urine sample and tested positive for alcohol on November 14th and February 27th, 2018, sir. And you finally, you tested positive for methamphetamine on February 27th, 2018. Sir, what was going on with the drug use?
I had a slip up, you know, there's nothing more I can say to it. I had a slip up, just point blank, and, you know, I still went and tried to do my urine sample, and that's what happened. I had a weak moment.
Okay, because it looks like you were doing pretty well through 2017, with just a couple of slips,
you know,
like November. So did something happen in November? Something that caused you to relapse?
You know, I just got done doing, and it's not an excuse to nothing, man. I got done doing all this time, and, you know, the world moves quite faster than it does in here. You know, and again, it's not an excuse. I just, like I said, I had a weak moment, and that was that. I went and I still tried to do my urine sample, and I failed. It was just a weak moment on my part. That's it. I take full responsibility for that.
Okay. And you tested positive for meth in February.
No, you were just talking about that one time because it's only been one time.
Well, the alcohol positive was on November 14th. The meth positive was February 27th.
Okay. Well, with alcohol...
Two alcohol times.
No, there should only be one.
No, there were two. So there was November 14th and February 27th.
Oh, wow. Because on my paperwork that I have, it only says one, and I remember only one. I wonder if the dates are the same, or I don't know.
No, so I'm looking at the test results right now.
Well, with that, I mean, I like to drink, you know? I mean...
Okay, but you understand when you're on community supervision, that's one of your conditions, you sign.
Yeah, no, I do understand that.
Okay.
Again, you know, I take full responsibility for that.
Okay, what does that mean when you say I take full responsibility?
It means that I don't have an excuse or no words to tell you. It's that I drank that, and I went and did a urine sample, and that's what came up, you know, and I'm dealing with the consequences to that action.
Okay.
That's what you need to take full responsibility means
okay.
to me.
Okay.
I don't have no excuse to tell you.
Okay.
There's nothing that happened, no event, no tragic event.
Okay.
I drank and I did that.
Well, I'm glad you had no tragic event. That's a good thing. So you did also test positive for meth. Are there any other drugs that you knew, sir?
No.
Have you ever, been in the past or no?
No, just other than my medical marijuana card that I have, you know, other than that, no.
Okay, so I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Any questions? Okay, Mr. Garcia, you have some supporters. In addition to your mother on the phone, I see that your wife has come in. So, are you going to want to speak?
Yes.
Okay, then I'll be just waiting then. Ms. Galindo?
Yes.
Would you like to make a statement to the board?
I can speak after his wife is just...
Okay, then I do need to swear you in, Ms. Garcia. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, if you'd like to come up and what would you like to tell the board?
I would like to tell the board.
Start by stating your name. I'm sorry.
My name is Angelica Garcia.
Thank you.
Wife of Ronnie Garcia. I want to thank you guys for giving me the time to speak on his behalf. I believe that my husband has had a reality check with going back into incarceration. We are expecting a child on September 23rd of this year. I believe that's going to help motivate him. I do believe he had some falling out in in February due to certain circumstances in regards to his kids. They have been withheld from him, even though he's tried to continuously keep a good communication with the mother of his children. So we have went forward into getting joint custody for them. There's paperwork standing right now, but there's a default hearing on her end that Ronnie is to pursue, but he cannot pursue that as he's incarcerated. And I feel with him being out, that would push him more to be a better person out here, be a citizen of society. He still has his job at DQD. They're trying to make him into a management position. We were in works of getting a house, which I obtained without him. So we now have a house that he will be at with our family instead of feeling that he's obligated to stay with a family member and he's not in charge of his own family. Again, I just believe that with all these circumstances, him getting his two other kids in our household and us bringing our child together, he's taking full responsibility of being there for my kids without a father. And I know he can do better than what he's shown. I just hope you guys grant him that second chance. I do think he should take it. He is going to be, when he gets out, he is going to be enrolled into school. We were doing marriage counseling, and I also motioned him to go into individual counseling as well. And I believe all this will benefit him to be a better citizen in society.
Okay. Thank you. Does any board member have a question for Ms. Garcia? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Galindo?
Yes.
Did you want to add anything to what you'd like to tell the board? Please start by just stating your full name.
My name is Angela Galindo. I'm mother of Ronnie Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
My son got in trouble at 19 years old. He was raised with me always telling my children there's no options in life, only choices and wants. And the things that you choose to do, there'll be a reward for it if it's positive, and there'll be a consequence if it's negative. My son has a lot of love and support. We have a predisposition about him in his incarceration in these past 10 years of him having to cope and adapt into a new environment. I have a and a disposition of a young man and a young child who I always said is a go-getter. I always told him he had the Midas touch because anything he touched, he could turn into gold. He's had a lot of learning lessons. He was, as my child, very loving, very emotional, very sensitive, very caring, you know, and the wrong choice of that evening that took him away for 10 years left me with a lot of heartache and pain, but it left me with a lot of hope in believing that he can be whoever he chooses to be, you know? And that I taught him before that incident about family life practices, about self-sufficiency, about having children. I was a young mom and he became a young parent and the responsibility of being that parent. Before he went in, he was 19 years old. He moved out before his time saying, I'm going to go get a job. You know, he got his girlfriend pregnant. He got his own apartment, a studio, and then he moved up into a two-bedroom. So I know that in these challenging months when he came out, it was happening for him too fast. You know, everything for him. We have always had great communication, and a mother knows her child. And all I can do as that mother raising him is just believe that he is going to take responsibility for his choices. He has already done that, you know. At this moment, your position for me, in my eyes, is your job is not to judge, you know? Your job is to decide, you know? But our job is not to figure out if he deserves something. Our job is to make the fallen, you know? My son fell, and all I want to do is restore the broken, but I know that I can't heal him or for any hurt that he's had in the past. I know in the due process of the judicial system, you know, it's fair treatment. And him as a citizen, I know that he can be productive. I know if any of you are parents, you want the best for your child. He's a young man now. He left at 19, but now he's a man. He's 30. And there's a lot to learn. He's never going to catch up to his adolescent years of the past. But I believe in, you know, him being criminalized and already, you know, and having to pay the price. He can come out here. He knows what he has to do. And I have a family history of drugs, you know, and my siblings, they're all dead now. There's six of us, and my dead siblings, and three of them are gone. And my son knows what that will lead to. And as a parent, and as his wife, the reality is that choice. If you choose to live, you'll be successful at what you want to do. But if you choose to do that thing, they're going to kill you. And neither one of that is in our choice. It's his decision. But in being incarcerated, he did obtain his GED. You know, he did have some life courses. They don't come out here with life skills. You know. You guys try to prepare them. There are programs out here. I work for these programs. I did my whole life, you know, to get myself out of a lifestyle that I was born into. And it doesn't make me any better. I just felt like I deserved better. So I tried to give my children better.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Galindo. We appreciate your participation today. We'll come back to you, Mr. Garcia. I do have one question for you, and that is, you absconded for 31 days and lost touch with your parole officer. Why? Why did you not contact your parole officer?
He called me in. You know, he said that he needed to speak with me, and I just fell off the rip. I just felt like he was just going to send me back to prison, and I didn't want to come back, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't contact him for 30 days. And then he placed that warrant out on March 12th. I had the warrant for 2 weeks, you know, and they went and got me at the residence that I was at, which was my mother's house, you know. I wasn't really on the run. I didn't feel like, I mean, you could have just came to the house and got me like they did. But I did not report to him for that 30 days because I thought that he was going to violate me and just send me back to prison.
Okay.
And I didn't want to come back.
Did
I don't
you understand when you signed that as part of being on parole that your job is to maintain contact with your parole officer?
Yeah, and I understand that. And I did prior up until he was asking me to come in to talk to me regarding the violation, you know, and like, he's never called me in there like that before, so I felt like, man, they're just going to take me in, and like I said, I was going to prevent that.
Thank
like,
you.
I didn't want to come back.
All right, I'm going to, Mr. Turner has something to add. Mr. Turner?
In reading the OMS notes, there's a couple things that I'd like to note.
Okay.
On 11-14 of 2017, he was contacted by his parole officer and directed to drop a UA, mm-hmm. which he did do. However, it was diluted, and it did test result positive for ETG.
Okay.
Also, on 12-28 of 2017, offender went to task, but did not follow the task rules. An incident report was conducted and filed on him trying to alter the UA sample.
Okay.
And other thing that I'd like to add is when he was arrested by ADC, it was not in the office. It was by the Fugitive Apprehension Unit with the assistance of the U.S. Marshals.
Oh, okay. And I'm sorry, Mr. Turner, what was the date of the one that he attempted to adulterate?
It was...
Is that December 27th?
It was It was December, let me verify. It's not one more, can you just say?
That's okay.
I'm saying that's...
I believe it was December 27th.
I'm pretty sure, it says that here, but I'm...
12/28.
12/28, probably that same incident, okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Trump.
Yes.
I'm so sorry, I apologize. Okay, Mr. Galindo, I'm sorry, any further questions from board members? Mr. Galindo, Mr. Garcia, I'm sorry, Mr. Garcia. We're coming toward the end of your hearing, sir, and I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement, but we would just ask that you not repeat something you've already told us. Is there anything else the board should know, sir?
I just wanted you guys to know that by me being here, just this 45 days has taken a real toll on me. Like I said, I don't want to live this life no more in here. I want to be out there with my wife and my unborn child. I was doing good, I felt. I mean, life is way faster out there than it is in here. And I just hope that you guys give me the opportunity to prove, I guess, to myself that I can make it out there. And I just want to thank my wife and my mom and all the family coming down to support me and you guys for hearing me out.
All right, you know? Thank you, Mr. Garcia. The board is going to go into discussion. And we do all our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. We've not discussed your case before right this minute. So we just ask that you stay on the phone but remain silent, and we will be back with you in just a moment. Okay, sir? The board is now in discussion. This is a case has a lot of different angles. I couldn't be able to hear other thoughts, but I'm encouraged by the fact that he was working. I'm encouraged by the fact that he has some strong family support from his wife and his mother, and I think his wife in particular would work very hard to keep him on the straight and narrow. He does have fairly limited criminal justice involvement with just this one sentence and the one from 2003, the criminal damage for which he got probation. I am concerned about the drug use. I'm very concerned about the drug use and the activity to adulterate the urine specimen. That seems like a deliberate attempt to cover something up. And I'm also concerned that he did not stay in touch with his parole officer, although he says he knew he was supposed to stay in touch. So. But I'll start the discussion there. I'm so sorry. Mr. Quinones.
I am of a very similar mindset to you. And after gathering all the information that we discussed, there's a business of the 31 days of absconding and also his discipline history inside the Department of Corrections, which included violence and drugs.
Yeah.
And it's hard to it's hard to get in I can't find the words right now, but it's hard to get support of returning into community supervision based
right,
on that
with that discipline history. Any other comments from board members? Okay, I'm going to make a motion then based on information provided by Mr. Turner, information provided by his supporters, information in the warrant, and our conversation with Mr. Garcia himself. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Garcia was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways of company, specifically by using drugs and alcohol on supervision. And while at Scottney for 31 days, during which time his parole officer did not know what he was doing. And that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded by Dr. Wright, agreed by Mr. Johnson, Mr. Neal, Mr. Kinnear. Mr. Garcia?
Yes.
The board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You heard the discussion. There are just too many. The board is responsible to make safe decisions for the community, and there are just too many.
There's just too many of you guys going back into my history instead of everything that I was doing. I mean, I had a couple of violations right there, but
Mr. Garcia,
you know, the thing is,
Mr. Garcia,
what's up?
The board is responsible to assess all factors in every case, and in your case, there were too many factors that the board feels would impact public safety. So the board has voted to revoke the community supervision. Your current release date is scheduled to be December 7th, 2018, and that would remain that date provided there's no other activity, no more discipline while you're there in the prison. So we wish you the best.
Thank you.
And we hope to not see you again in Orange. And it appears that Mr. Garcia has left the hearing early. The hearing is concluded at this time.